Okay, we're at the very bottom of Kuf Bet Omid Bet. We were talking about this Gemara. You remember, we were trying to figure out how many Aliyahs there are on a Tanis Tzibur. So we brought a Maisa about Rav. In the Maisa about Rav, Rav got a certain Aliyah on a Tanis Tzibur, but we couldn't figure out which one, so we couldn't learn anything from the story. But agav to that, it also mentioned his practice about falling or not falling for Tachanun. And we discussed that last week. Why didn't he fall? So he didn't fall. Well, no, well, there's two possibilities. Either because of the problem of a stone floor, or because of the idea of being an ish chashuv. That an ish chashuv should not fall on the floor. Then the Gemara goes on, the bottom line here. Omar Rav Chiya bar Avin, chazina lehu l'abaye v'rava d'matzle atzluye. Rashi explains the matzle atzluye al tzidehen velo noflin al pnehem mamash lefi she'ein adam chashuv rashai lipol al panav. That's when they would do tachanun, they wouldn't fall like we fall on the floor. They would like lean on their side. Now either it means they would lean on the side, which is the source of our practice. When we do tachanun, you lay down on your arm.
That's like a remnant of falling on the floor.
Yeah, it seems to be what their practice was. It's either it means that when they fell on the floor, they like laid down on their side. Ah. Or it means that they like did, you know, like we do, where you don't go onto the floor, you sit down and you put your arm down you put your head down on your arm.
Yeah, they don't do that.
What do they,
what
they,
is
they,
do?
They just say it. Yeah, right. They don't do that. But yeah, they still call it Nefil Tapayim. Right. So yeah. So that's what. I mean, there are all types of. Yeah.
Does it have to do with being a ish chashuv? Is it edah chashuv?
Because all the edah is chashuv.
Isn't there a problem though? Of doing it like you go down the floor like that, is like you're mimicking the goyim when they pray.
No, so obviously in Beit HaMikdash, they did this all the time. Falling korim mishtachavim was part of the daily service in right. Even though it's true, the idea of Jews bowing, like we have this idea, we don't bow and we don't go down on our knees and we don't. That's always like in the TV when the kid would get down on his knees at his bedside to say his prayers before bed. You know, that always seemed so goyish. And to us, it is goyish. We don't do that today, but it was originally part of the practice. And even after Churban Abayi, even in Bavel, there was still apparently Koryim u'mishtachavim falling down onto the floor. So the Gemara adds this P.S. that Rav Chiya Bar Avin said that he saw Abaye and Rava. They didn't fall on the ground completely. They did this on their side, which let's say it means they said Tachnun the way that we Ashkenazim say Tachnun. So here, pass these around. So the halacha l'maisa. The halacha l'maisa is not, in other words, how do you understand this Gemara is not clear. Rashi says the reason that they didn't fall completely, but rather did this falling onto their side, was because they were anashim chashuvim. And the halacha is that anashim chashuvim should not do this. But Tosfos does not agree with that. You see, Tosfos here, Iboyes Ema, and Kof Beis Omud Beis. Tosfos says, he quotes Rav Haigaon, that the reason they didn't fall was not because of being a ish chashuv, but because of the prohibition of falling on a stone floor. So if the problem falling on a stone floor, so why didn't they just do, remember when we had Rav, there were two ways of understanding the story with Rav. Either he didn't fall because it was an ish chashuv, or he didn't do pishut yadayim v'raglayim. Because what's the Isur Min HaTorah? The Isur Min HaTorah, remember, the Gemara described there are three different things. There's Kida, which is kind of like bowing. There's Korim, which is like what we do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. where you go down onto your knees and you bring your face to the floor. Right? That those little shmatas that we bring to shul, or those fancy embroidered things which I expressed, I think, is nonsense. She bought you one? Well, then that's okay. For Shalom Bayis, everything's okay.
I didn't let her listen to
that. Hmm?
She wasn't listening.
I guess not. I can edit it out in case she'll...
is okay.
But the shmata, the paper towel, whatever it is. So you see, sometimes people do the wrong thing. They put the shmata underneath their knees, which is either motivated by the desire not to get their pants dirty, or based upon this idea of the problem is kneeling on a stone. The problem is not kneeling on a stone floor. It's bringing your face down to the floor. So the piece of towel has to be, if it's a big towel, it can be both. But the main thing is to serve as a separation for when you bring your face down to the floor, that there should be a barrier between you and the floor.
I think if your wife buys you the shmata, she's thinking about your pants.
So then you need to bring two. I used to bring like a bath mat to shul. And because it's like a rug. And I used to stand it because on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where you stand, you know, for a long time. And I don't do it anymore because I physically can't. But I used to, like I do during the year, I stand with my feet together for the Chazaras Hashatz, which I just simply physically cannot do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I at least try to stand up in place, even if not at attention. But it softens the blow to be able to stand on carpeting instead of standing on the hard floor, and then I would do Korim onto that, and it was big enough you could do the whole thing. You could cover your whole body. But the main thing is your face. So when Rav and Abaye did not fall, so according to Rashi, it's because they were Ish Chashuv. According to Tosfot, it was because of the problem of falling on a stone floor. That shul that Rav Chiya Bar Avin was in, that he saw them, must have had a stone floor. They didn't want to fall onto the stone floor, so they did onto their side. So if that's the case, so why didn't they just avoid doing Pishut Yadayim Viraglayim, which is the third stage, where not only do you fall down, but you do it spread eagle, kazeh, spread out like this onto the floor. That's the Isur Min HaTorah. That's the Isur, is to do what's called Pishut Yadayim Viraglayim. So why didn't they just fall the way we fall, which is just Korim? So Enachinami, because that there's a... because it's Asur Dirabonon. Right? It's Asur Dirabonon even to do Korim. Right? It's also there are two things. So in other words, just for stone floors, or Pishut Yadayim Viraglayim anywhere, right? So our practice is that our practice is, well, look here at the Shulchan Aruch, what I just Xeroxed out for you. The Shulchan Aruch says, Ein adam chashuv v'shai lipol al panav kishmit pala limatzibur. Ela imkein hu batuach shi'anek Yeshua ben Nun. That's the bidyuk, the Gemara that we saw last week. The problem with the Ish Chashuv falling down is not because it looks improper for an important person to degrade himself by falling on the floor. On the contrary, but because of this problem that it causes like a problem of emunah. Because if an Ish Chashuv should be mitchanein before Hashem and fall on the floor and then his tefillot aren't answered, it may raise questions in the minds of the other worshippers. Why were his prayers not answered? And it's better not to arouse that kind of speculation. But then the Rama adds, V'chein asur l'chol adam lipol al panav b'pishut yadayim v'reglayim. No one can ever fall pishut yadayim v'reglayim afilu ein sham even maskit. That is, even if you're falling on carpeting. You can't do pishut yadayim v'raglayim. Aval im notek et satat sido mutar im ein sham even maskit. But if you fall a little bit on your side, meaning even on the floor, in other words, what we do where we don't even fall on the floor, but we fall on our arm, that's another extension. But in other words, apparently what Abai and Rava were doing was they were falling on the floor, but they were falling on the floor on their side. So even if it's on what? No, so in other words, so falling on the floor is mutar im ein sham even maskit. But if there's an even maskit, we never fall on the floor. If there's actual stone. Right? I'm not sure that our floors, you know, maybe like some of those old shuls in Tzfat, in the old city, they have actual stone floors. Ours, these floors, the ceramic is not actual stone.
Not natural stone.
Right? What?
Stone.
No, but that's not Evan Maskeet. Evan Maskeet is you take a stone, hewn stone, like by the Kotel. Right? So, וכן יעשו ביום הכיפורים כשנופלים על פניהם אם יצאו שם עשבים כדי להפסיק בין הקרקע וכן נוהגים. So on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippurim, the Rambam says, what would they do? Tell your wife this. They didn't get fancy schmancy embroidered shmatas. They put straw, they put grass down on the floor. Imagine the grass stains on those beds. They put straw down on the floor, so that was the best. So we don't lo at kedekach. We have these either paper towels or we have these whatever they are. The Mishnah Berurah says, as long as there's no hewn stone, o ritzpat avanim, or any kind of stone floor. ואם יש שם רצפת אבנים אפילו דרך קידה אסור ודווקא כשפניו דבוקים בקרקע. That's if you bow down. Remember that bow that I demonstrated last week, like touching your toes, where you're standing up but you bow down and your head comes all the way to the floor. So even if it's not hewn stone, but if it's any kind of stone, ודווקא נגד רצפת אבנים, אבל רצפת לבנים, a brick, right? And ceramic is probably more akin to brick, because it's artificial. What's ceramic? How is ceramic made?
Mixed and baked.
Well, it's like liquid, right?
I think it's liquid and then it's baked.
And it's like a brick, yeah. Yeah. What about balatot? Those old balatot.
Old balatot were more like, I think, like terrazzo.
What is that?
Cement with rocks in it and smoothed down.
No.
Rip up an old balata and look at the backside, it's like this thick cement.
Right.
And the top part is plaster with like the little fancy things.
Aval ritzpat levenim ein asura, de even kativ vilevena lav even. A brick is not stone. Kidichti vati lehem alevena la even. That's from 2 weeks ago. So, but our practice is we're machmir all the way, that we never fall down unless you put something down in between. And even in America, where you have carpeting, they put something down. But min ha-Torah, it's only asur to fall pishud yadayim v'raglayim on even maskit. But derabanan, all these other things are asur to one varying degree or another. So that's the halacha. When we bow on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know, they're varying minhagim. It used to be that like only the chazan would bow down. Like if you ask like your grandparents, something like that, it was not what we do, where almost everybody falls for all of the, both on Rosh Hashanah, both during Aleinu on Rosh Hashanah, and the Seder, and Aleinu on the Seder Avodah and Yom Kippurim. So that's a more recent, that's like the influence of the yeshivas. I think so. I don't know. Like I don't know for sure. But
I don't remember.
Women never used to do it, but today I'm told women do. I asked Lonnie. I said, "How many women?" She said, "Everybody does it." I was very surprised to hear that. I didn't. I mean, not knowing what goes on when you. I personally, according to the opinion of the Gro, I personally do not do for Aleinu, which is means on Rosh Hashanah I don't. And on Yom Kippur, I don't do for Aleinu, but I do for the other Seder Avodah. What? Well, there's always somebody who doesn't. There's old people. There's some, but the minhag. But in some places, the minhag. In some places, the minhag was just the chazan did it.
Right. Wasn't my minhag when we were growing up? I never saw anybody doing shul.
Yeah, because
one year my father showed him because the shul turned very suspicious and everyone was doing, so he felt out of place. I said, not my minhag. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, in the shul that I grew up in, certainly nobody besides the rabbi and the chazan and one, two other people did it. But that, the shul I grew up in was not typical. Okay, now the Gemara goes on. It goes back to the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah had said, on Yom Kippur there's five aliyahs. On Yom Tov there's five aliyahs. On Yom Kippur there's six aliyahs. On Shabbos there's seven aliyahs. Ein pochatin, aval mosifin. That's the floor, not the ceiling. That's the minimum number of aliyahs, but not the maximum. You can always have osafot. So our Gemara asks, Matnitan Mani, according to whose, which Tana's opinion is this Mishnah, this anonymous Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yishmoel v'lo Rabbi Akiva. It is neither the opinion of Rabbi Yishmoel nor Rabbi Akiva. At the top of Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Detanya, because we have a Brisa, or it's a Tosefta actually. B'yom to remember, the Tosefta is also a Brisa. I've explained this before. Is this one of those times? Technically, anything that's not a Mishnah is a Brisa. Brisa means outside of the Mishnah. But colloquially, the Tosefta is different than the Brisa. Detanya means is a Brisa. Right? In this case, it's a Brisa which was codified in the Tosefta. Anyway, here's the Brisa. Biyom Tov Chamisha, Biyom Kippurim Shisha, uveShabbat Shiva Ein Pochatin Mehen Vein Mosifin Alehem Divrei Rabbi Yishmoel. So, is Rabbi Yishmoel like the Mishnah, or is he not like the Mishnah? How does he differ from the Mishnah? Because the numbers are the same. He agrees that the numbers are the minimum number, but he, unlike the Mishnah, says the numbers are written stone. You can't have less, you also can't have more. Rabbi Akiva Omer, B'yom Tov Chamisha, V'yom HaKippurim Shiv'a, V'Shavat Shisha Ein Pochatin Mehen Aval Mosifin Aleihem. Is Rabbi Akiva like the Mishnah?
No.
How?
Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Because Shabbos and Yom Kippur switch numbers. He holds on Yom Kippur you have seven aliyahs, and on every Shabbos you have six aliyahs. Why does it make more sense?
Because you're saying that you're adding aliyahs according to the Yom Kippur is Shabbat Shabbatot. It makes more sense that you get more.
Except that's not what the Gemara had said last week. Gemara said it wasn't so much an indication of added Kedusha, but some kind of added element. Yes, but we can imagine that Yom Kippur is.
And also, on the other hand, Yom Kippur is less chamor than Shabbat.
Correct.
Yom Kippur is only karet. Shabbat is skila.
So that's precisely what the Gemara said. That's why. Not if you have to get it today.
No, that's exactly the point. I was Michal Shabbos.
God
I'm
forbid.
I'm going to get skewed. Like,
theoretically, okay? Someone was.
Okay, I go down there to the gallows, and I know I'm going to get skewed, right? But I can go with the whole heart because I know, okay, I'm going to get Sefila, I'm going to be instantly forgiven, and Bob's your uncle. I could drop dead tomorrow. I'm not going to know, wait a second, is that because I curse or because I eat 16 donuts in a row? What's the story? And I go up to heaven, and God says, well, no, you're not forgiven. I'm sorry. You don't know.
You're right about that, except that generally curses look at as less chamor than Sefila. Even though Sefila has the advantage of kapara comes with it.
Right. In terms of the severity of the
flip side. If I'm going to get skill, I don't have time to do tshuva. The skill is my tshuva, and I don't have time to prove that the tshuva really took. If I'm going to get covered, so far it's like I can do tshuva tomorrow, and the next time it comes along, I didn't do it. So then my tshuva
took. And achinami, but the Gemara said what he said, not what you said. He has the advantage of having the Gemara on his side.
No. If you look at it, anyways, we don't do seven aliyot on Shabbat.
Halachalamais?
You do six and plus
on what?
One.
On Shabbat?
It's six real aliyot.
No.
One tosefet.
No.
No, it's seven. Adrabah. And maftir.
It's seven aliyot.
Okay,
and bad. Then maftir. Right?
We'll call you up for Shvi.
Shvi, I'm usually outside cutting hair.
That's a different problem. So we have the Mishnah, and we have Rabbi Yishmael, and we have Rabbi Akiva. Mani. So whose opinion is this? E Rabbi Yishmael Kasha. It can't be Rabbi Yishmael. Tosefet. Kasha Tosefet. Because Rabbi Yishmael doesn't allow the Hosefa. And the Mishnah does. E Rabbi Akiva Kasha Shisha Shiva. There's a problem with the numbers though, match. So Omar Rava Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael. So Rava says no. Our Mishnah is according to the school of Rabbi Yishmael. Remember, Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael is like Beit Shammai. When we quote something in the name of Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, we're not quoting Shammai and Hillel. We're quoting this kind of collective voice of their yeshiva. They may have already been dead when this opinion was stated in Beit Shmuel. I assure you that not everything said in Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan represents the view of Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. But the yeshiva is called on his name. So Rava says, no, our Mishnah is according to the school of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom HaKippurim Shisha, B'Shabbat Shiva, Ein Pochatin Mehen, Aval Mosifin Aleihem, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. That is, according to which opinion? That's the Mishnah. But here it's quoted in the name of Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Kasha, the Rabbi Yishmael, are the Rabbi Yishmael. So we're saying the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yishmael. And the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, which disagrees with the minion Mishnah, is Rabbi Yishmael. So that we really don't like. We can barely tolerate the idea that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva don't agree. We would like for them to agree. We want everyone to get along.
But he has to at least agree with himself.
But certainly Rabbi Yishmael has to agree with himself. So when we're confronted with this kind of case, Kasha Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yishmael, which is not terribly uncommon, but what's in the Gemara's arsenal to deal with this? What's the last thing the Gemara wants to have to do?
To have to
just throw your hands up and say Rabbi Yishmael contradicts himself.
Well, the Gemara will say no. Rabbi Yishmael in one case is referring to X.
Apples and oranges. Right? In one case he's talking about this, in one case he's talking about that. You have to split the hair. You can also, it's less elegant and it's less preferable, but to say this is what he thought then, and then something happened and he changed his position. We're not so crazy about that either, but there is precedent for such a thing. So what do we say? Trei Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. No, so these are two Tanaitic statements, the Mishnah and the first opinion cited in the Brisa in the name of Rabbi Yishmael. These are two Tanaitic statements. Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. Each citing the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, but presumably, what? Presumably one got it wrong. There's an error in the transmission. Mantana lahad tanya, biyom tov ma'achrin lavo. So then, so here we have this. Here we have this other. Here we have this other. It's not a brisa. It's in Masechet Sofrim. It's in Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim is one of the Masechtot Ketanot. It's like a lesser Tanaitic source, a later and lesser Tanaitic source. B'yom tov machrin lavo. B'yom tov machrin lavo to Beit Knesset u'maharim letzeit. On Yom Tov, you come late to shul and you leave early. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you cut out early to go make the Kiddush.
No, it means that you start davening later.
You start davening a little later.
Morning, you have to rush to work.
And you don't hang around in shul as long.
Yes, yeah, very interesting comment here.
What's that?
Hagot Yavetz explains that.
Oh, about your kid.
Although it's the women who prepare for the meal.
So wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second on that. So look at Rashi. B'yom tov machrin lavo. Why does davening start later? Levet HaKnesset should tzarich litroach besudot Yom Tov. Kach mefurosh b'masechet Sofrim. In other words, since on Yom Tov morning you have to cook the food, since on Yom Tov you cook, you have to cook the food for lunch, so you don't rush off to shul because if now wait a second, who's cooking? The guys are going off to shul. They're not cooking the lunch. So what is the what is?
It says the men remain at home to care for the house and children while the women are cooking.
While the women are cooking. How about that?
Haglot Yavetz. So who went to shul?
Who's the Yavetz? Yaakov Emden. No, they went to shul.
After,
but first they say,
that's why they came late.
Right? It's not like I did. I came to the early minyan, the Shabbat. No, because the clock changed. Besides the fact that it's better to daven, you know, and not to miss every zman in the book, which is a problem at this time of year.
At least for a couple of weeks.
But, you know, with the clock change.
Yeah, probably.
I was asleep Friday night by like 8:15 or 8:30 or something like that. How much can you sleep? So I woke up. The kids were up early. My wife was dealing with the kids. I saw the way the wind was blowing. Right? It's 10 to 7. School's not till 8:30. What am I going to do for an hour and 40 minutes?
Davin
said, I got to go to shul.
This guy gives this whole long rush about the idea of time and that davening is in its own time.
Okay. It's not clock time. So it's Machrin Latzit. B'yom Kippurim, mimaharin lavo, mimaachrin latzeit. On Yom Kippur, you don't have to cook food, so you can get to shul, you can start davening early. When we say you get there late, you leave early, it doesn't mean, you know, the davening starts later, and it ends early. The official time. On Yom Kippur, you get there early, and you stay late because you don't have anything else to do. Uv Shabbat, mimaharin lavo. Because you don't have, in the morning, you don't have to get the meal ready because you can't cook on Shabbos. Mimaharin lavo, u'mimaharin latzeit. Why mimaharin latzeit? Rashi says, mishum simchat yom tov, you leave. V'shabbat mimaharin lavo, shekfar tiknu hakol me'erev Shabbat, v'yafe lemaher biatan lekrot shma kivatikin. U'mimaharin latzeit, mishum onek Shabbat. You don't have to cook the meal, but you want to get home and in order to... before the children gets called, before whatever it is. So who this Mishnah in Masechet Sofrim, whose opinion is that like? Lema Rabbi Akiva. Let's say it's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. De'it le gavra yetera. Because on Yom Kippur you have an extra guy. On Yom Kippur you have an extra aliyah.
And because of that, machrin latzeit.
So machrin latzeit.
Forget the fact that there's shachris like this and musaf like this.
I see you read ahead in the Gemara.
No, I didn't read ahead in the Gemara. I just remember. I remember Yom Kippur compared to Shabbos, and there's a lot bigger difference than just the aliyah.
So afilo tema Rabbi Yishmael. So wait a second. The reason that you're in shul a long time on Yom Kippur has nothing to do with one aliyah more, one aliyah less. That's the That's the tip of the iceberg.
The nafish sidur.
The nafish sidur diyoma. Right? Oh boy, is the sidur, the seder hatfilah on Yom Kippur is pretty long, with or without one extra aliyah. That's not going to make the difference. So we can't correlate. No, but in other words, I think I once mentioned last year this idea that there's certain things in Masechet Megillah that almost seem like Purim Torah, right? This almost seems like a Purim Torah. Right, Rabbi Akiva could not have possibly thought that cutting one aliyah from Yom Kippur means everybody's going to get home early. Right, the Chazonim will. You know how long it takes to daven Yom Kippur? How long does it take to daven Yom Kippur? How much time do you got? Remember in YU, they don't even end on time. At least when I was a kid. They used to, by the time the davening was over, it'd be like an hour after the fast was over. And I remember once...
We have one, they don't have Birkat Kohanim, so they don't have to worry.
They save Birkat Kohanim at the end, right? They don't have to rush.
They don't have to rush.
Right. So, and once I remember...
No, they don't care after...
I remember once Musaf went very long. And I don't remember the exact times, but it was like Musaf ended at like 3:40, and the Gabbai got up with no irony and said, "Mincha will begin at 3:30. According to the schedule, Mincha will begin at 3:30. They went with no break, you know.
By the time I knew, I could be wrong. I have to check my phone. Yom Kippur davening isn't.
Yeah, because they're on the Piyut team.
They have no piyutim. There's also no chazor hashas.
Right.
You get also up by Shmur, I swear, everything is all out from the beginning to the end.
You used to daven down the block.
No, that's the timanim.
Yeah.
No, but they have fewer piyutim.
No, my father always said there's no
the Chazaras Hashatz. If the Chazaras Hashatz was just the literal repeating what everybody said in the Sion Shemona Esrei, davening wouldn't be terribly long.
No, but it's together at the same time.
I understand how the Temanim do it, but it's even if you did Chazaras Hashatz and you cut out all of it, if you just did Chazaras Hashatz, like we did Chazaras Hashatz at Mincha, whatever people said in the Sion Shemona Esrei, you said in the repetition, it would save a tremendous amount of time. And YU they also said slichos at all the tefillot. It's like we have slichot at night. There's no chazaras hashatz at night, but we say slichot, and we say it at neila. But the truth is, there are slichot to be said before the vidui in all of the tefillot. And you can find, they used to print up, there was a booklet, and they would say the slichot. You know, they would insert them. At the point, they don't appear in our machzorim, but there is such a... But the Sephardim say slichot at Shacharis and Minchot Musaf also?
Yeah.
On Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
So in YU, the Briskers tradition was also to do this, so that also added a lot of time. So anyway, this attempt to correlate the three opinions in the Mishnah and the two opinions in the Braisa to this Mishnah in Masechet Sofrim, turns out you can't really do it. Now the Gemara wants to know, Hani, you see the first white line. Hani shlosha chamisha v'shiva keneged mi. The three aliyot that we have on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha. The five aliyot that we have on Yontif. And the seven aliyot that we have on Shabbos. What's the symbolism behind them? What is the source that these numbers represent?
What is the answer about Yom Kippur?
It's a good question. Why does it ask about Rosh Chodesh and Tal Tzibur?
That's a good question, too.
Yep. It could be because once you establish 3, 5, and 7, the others are derivative. Remember, we said that Rosh Chodesh has... Well, Tal Tzibur has 3. if it's Rosh Chodesh's question. Rosh Chodesh has four. Why does Rosh Chodesh have four? Because Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed are essentially, for the purposes of Kriyas HaTorah, weekdays, but you add an aliyah for Musaf. So Rosh Chodesh, how many aliyahs are there? 3 plus 1. And Yom Kippur is like Yontif, but you add one to distinguish it from Yontif. So once you have 3, 5, and 7, the others can be interpolated in between. So 3, 5, and 7 connected me. Pligi bo Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmani. This is a machlokus, but it's not clear who the machlokus is. So pligi bo Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmani v'chad imei. So it's a machlokus between Yitzchok bar Nachmani and the guy he disagreed with, and one who was with him. V'chad imei, echad shehaya imo. Umani, and who is the one that Yitzchok bar Nachmani had the machlokus with? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Va'omri lo Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi v'chad imei. Umani, Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmani. It sounds like Purim Torah. In other words, there's a machlokus about this question. Who's the machlokus between? So it's between Rabbi Yitzchok bar Nachmani and somebody else. Who with who? Well, some say with Yitzchok ben Pazi. No, with Shimon ben Pazi.
But others say that
it was Yitzchok bar Nachmani with Shmuel bar Nachmani. So some say it was Shmuel bar Nachmani, right? So in other words, the point is, this is a machlokus. What?
Who's on first?
Who's on first? What's on second?
I don't know. Okay.
So Omar Keneged Birkat Kohanim. So one said it's opposite, it's in place of the Birkat Kohanim. How are these 3, 5, and 7 represented by Birkat Kohanim?
The number of words in each
of the psukim. Right? Yivarech Hashem Bishmerecha, 3. Yor Hashem Baram Elam Yivarecha, 5. 7. V'chadamar keneged, the other one said, no, the 3 is keneged the shlosha shomrei asaf, chamisha miro'ei p'nei ha-melech, shiva ro'ei p'nei ha-melech. This is from a pasuk in Nehemiah. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah that describes that there were, outside of the Beit HaMikdash, there were 3 guards at the door. And then inside the palace, there were 5 people that could see the king. And in a different place, there were 7 people that could see the king. So they found a pasuk where you have these 3, 5, and 7. Right? And he says, whoever this second opinion is, says, no, this is the pasuk that where we get the numbers from. Tani Rav Yosef, Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva, Shlosha Shomrei Asaf, Chamisha Roei Pnei HaMelech, V'Shiva Roei Pnei HaMelech, Omar Le Abaye Ad O'idna Mai Taima, Lo Parish Lan Mar, Omar Le Lo Havi Adana. When he said this thing about, you know, this pasuk about 3 and 5 and 7, so the Talmidim asked him, why didn't you never teach us this before? It's like a strange thing, right? Like if you're like a very devoted Talmud, it's like at a certain point you think you've heard it all. A couple of weeks ago, my mother-in-law was over, and she told some story about something. And she said, did you ever hear that story? I said, yeah, I've heard all the stories. Like, after the first year of marriage, you've heard all the stories.
Just give them numbers.
And, you know, it's like very rare. Like, how, you know, after you're married a couple of years, how often does your wife tell you something, you know, and you say, I never heard that before. Right? Yeah, she tells you like some story, something happened to her in school, or something she did for the summer, or Miyodayama. Really? No, you're like after a cinema time. So he said this vort about.
But you reach a stage where it seems new anyway.
I guess. No, but
he doesn't remember it.
Oh, I guess. look, you know, there's an isser to forget the Torah that you learn, which is a strange type of isser because, you know, it happens. But there's no isser to forget what your wife told you. Baruch Hashem.
As it was told.
So he says this vort, and they say, why'd you never tell us that? I never heard this before. Why'd you never tell us this before? He said, I didn't think you needed to know. Meaning, what difference does it make? How many aliyahs do you have on Shabbos? Everybody knows you have seven. Except for you, you didn't know that. Everybody knows you have seven aliyahs on Shabbos. How many aliyahs do you have on the Thursday morning? Three. Everybody knows you. What's the meaning behind it? What's the symbolism behind it? What's the... Does he saying? Is I think what he
right?
Does he think this is the reason when Moshe was Metake in Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni Chamishi that on Shabbos Mincha rather? You think he was thinking of that posuk in Nehemiah that hadn't been written yet? This is at best an asmachta, and at worst it's just a kind of. I don't want to say Purim Torah, but it's a...
You can find the pasuk, three pasukim with any three numbers.
Yes. So he says, why'd you never tell me? So he said, I didn't think you needed to know it like.
Maybe it was Purim.
Umi ba'ita mina'a milta velo amri lechu. Right? Was there ever something that you needed to know and I didn't tell it to you? Right? He says, like, if you needed it, this is I would have told you. It's an interesting exchange. So Omar le Yaakov min o, that was his name. It's not clear what Yaakov min o means. I saw in one of the Meforshim that min o. Where am I? It might be like the name of the place that he was from. So Omer le Yaakov mino le Rav Yehuda, Hani Shisha de Yom Kippurim keneged me. Right. So now we get it. So Omer le keneged Shisha she'amdu mi mino shel Ezra, v'Shisha mismolo, Shneemar v'yamod Ezra hasofer al migdal etz, asher asu. Asher asu ledaber ledavar. All right. He stood on the wooden platform that they had made for the purpose of this, you know, big like hakel, like kriyas haTorah that they did. V'amod etzlo, count with me. Matitya v'shema v'onya v'oriya v'chilkiya u'maasiya al yemino. And these six guys stood on his right. Umismolo Pidaya Umishael Umalchia Vechashum Vechashbedana Zacharia Mishalim Vechashbedana Zacharia Mishulam Hani Shiva Havu. Now you count the names, there's seven guys there. So that's what the Gemara says. V'havu hainu Zechariah hainu Meshulam. Zechariah Meshulam. That was his name. V'amai karu Meshulam. Why was he called Meshulam? D'mishalem b'd'mishulam b'ovdeha. B'ovadya. B'ovadeh. And as he was perfect in his actions. That's why he was called Meshulam. Okay. Period. What? Huh?
There's no vav
in Meshulam.
V'zechaya Meshulam, not v'zechaya v'mishulam.
Looks like one name. All the other names.
Right, right. Ooh. Right. So Tanu Rabbanan, and here it is. This is it. Here's the big thing. Hakol olin leminyan shiva. Everyone counts for the seven aliyahs. Afilu katan. Afilu... You can tell your wife that it was feminist. Aval amru chachamim, isha lo tikra b'torah. Bnei Kvod Hatzibur. That it's not proper for a woman to get an aliyah because it's somehow an offense to the honor of the congregation.
Is this the source of all the famous...
This is it.
Is that the same as getting an aliyah?
Well, in other words, getting an aliyah and Koreba was synonymous with going in the Torah.
At the time.
The time. Today, we don't do that. Today, we have a Bal Kore. So the lenient opinion that wants to allow women to get aliyahs can say, well, it's no longer an affront because nobody's going to think that the men can't read.
But then the women might read.
No, in other words, we're not going to. Besides Simchas Torah, which anyway is a hefkevelt, where when you get your aliyah on Simchas Torah, a lot of people read it for themselves. You never see that. It's an Ole goes up and he reads on his own.
I do.
Once in a while.
The Temanim do it all the time.
Yeah, but the Temanim are not considering giving aliyahs to women.
First, let them have Ezrat Nashim in the Beit Knesset. Then we'll talk about it. Okay?
Look at Rashi. Mipnei Kvod Torah. Shelo yeh Kvod Torah Kvod Navi Shaveh. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, I'm correct. That's later. So, anyways, that's the reason. Now you can read in the literature all of the contemporary poskim, left and right, that deal with the realities of. It seems that there are bigger affronts to Kavod HaTorah. Lamaisa, we don't let a katan get an aliyah, not get one of the seven aliyahs, also because of Kavod HaTorah. But we do let a katan get one of the hosafos.
Or maftir
itself is a form of hosafa. Even though we think of maftir as being a very mechubad aliyah because you also read the haftarah, in fact, maftir is a lesser aliyah, which is why they allowed katanim to go up for maftir.
The maftir used to get musaf.
The maftir also often would continue to daven the musaf. But that's not, you don't have to.
But it was in order to give it more kavod.
Right. But even on on Simchas Torah, where every little kid who's covered in candy apple and, looks like he's like been rolling around in the gutter with like sticky candies and is on a sugar high, right? So we give every one of these kids an aliyah. But a woman who might be a mechanechet, as your wife who seems to know a lot of Torah, you might claim she knows more Torah than you.
She probably does know. Not probably. She does know more Torah than I do.
And her shirt's always tucked in, unlike yours.
Yes, her shirt's always tucked in. But somehow, she also reads better than I do.
Yeah, but somehow you get an aliyah on Simchas Torah morning, and your kid, when he was a katan, would get an aliyah on Simchas Torah morning. But somehow your very mechubedet, milumedet wife, that would be an affront to Kavod HaTorah. So Kavarat Sibur. I'm sorry. Kavarat Sibur is what the Gemara.
You could say Kavarat Sibur because if you're in Beit Knesset, okay, and you have the machitza and the mitzvah on one side, a woman sitting on the other side, and you want to give a woman aliyah, so she has to cross over the machitza, she has to break all these bags, to come to her, and then what's going to happen? No one's going to pay attention to their Torah. They're all going to talk about the fact that a woman got an aliyah.
Yeah, that would be the first time. Look, I'm no advocate for this, but I'm. That would be the first time.
Rashi
changes the language to what?
Kavod
no, that's a later. That's Dibur Maskil later. That's later. Then.
Today, because we haven't done this for 2,000 years.
No, obviously, the first couple of times. But if you have a Kavod Tzibur, right? So what's the purpose of Kavod Tzibur? That you should sit quietly. You should listen to the Torah. So you don't want to do anything. that's going to be to the extreme. That everybody's going to go, see what happened. They're all going to be having, talking.
Letting a bar mitzvah boy read the Torah, people don't say, oh, there's a bar mitzvah boy and he made a mistake. I mean, every time somebody goes out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Exactly.
The point is that it's not a simple matter.
We should read, Chas v'Shalom, lightning shouldn't strike, but I don't think every bar mitzvah boy should read either. My kids included.
We let them anyway.
So the Gemara says, now the Gemara goes on, Iboilahu. What's Iboilahu mean?
Information.
Excellent. Somebody's been listening. Iboilahu is an information question. Maftir mahu. Shialele minyan shiva? Is Maftir one of the seven, or is it in addition to the seven? Meaning, why Maftir? Maftir is the nickname for that aliyah of the guy that's also going to read.
Right? Isn't that what it means? The end.
Yeah, maftir. Technically. Ein Maftir in Acher Pesach Afikom. So Maush Yalele Minyan Shiva. Rav Huna, Rav Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Chadamar, Ole. V'Chadamar, Eino Ole. So one said that the Maftir, whoever gets the seventh Aliyah, so he reads from the Haftarah. And one says, no, you have seven regular Aliyot, and then you go back and you repeat the last few Psukim, and that's what we call the Maftir. Mandamar Ole, Dahakari. He reads. Umandamar Eino Ole, Kidu'ula. Domar Ula mipnei ma hamaftir ben Navi tzerich sheyikra b'Torah tchila mipnei kvod Torah. What do you need to have the maftir at all? Call seven guys up for seven aliyahs. Then get another guy to come up and read the haftarah. So no, that would be an affront to the Torah that somebody goes up that somebody goes up and just gets the Haftarah without having first read from the... Somebody reads from the Navi without having first read from the Torah. Rashi says, Bibnei Kvod Torah, Shelo Yehe Kvod Torah U Kvod Navi Shaveh. V'kevan de Mishum Kvod Torah Hu V'lo Mishum Chovah Lav Mi Minyanehu. In other words, it shouldn't look like, meaning that there are eight people that get aliyahs. Seven guys get aliyahs from Torah. And one guy who is just the same as everybody else, he reads from the Navi. So no, first you have to read a few psukim from the Torah.
And then.
But since reading the few psukim from the Torah is there only to show respect to the Torah, that he's going to dip into, you don't...
It's not a real read.
Right, look, in other words, the same idea that... Like the Ein Maftir in Acher Pesach Avkod, the Haftarah is like the dessert. So it's not proper. You come to my house for a meal and you're only going to have the dessert. You're not going to first taste from the main course. So that's it. But since it's there only out of respect, not a proper reading, that therefore doesn't count for the seven Aliyot, and the Maftir is an eighth person. V'kevan de mishum kvot Torahu de Meitveh. We'll stop there. We'll stop with the Meitveh. We'll pick up the Meitveh next time.